I'm looking forward to that tonight. And I hope that everyone, I wish that everyone here, and I hope that everyone here will make plans, will make preparations to meet us over there. I'm looking forward to it. You know, think about that song, everybody. We'll be happy over there. There'll be no sadness. There'll be no tears of sadness running down our face. The Bible says over there, it says, God shall wipe away all tears from every eye. You know, a wonderful thought to think about. You know, as stated before, my heart has been sad, and I had a lot on my mind this afternoon, and thinking about the friend of mine that, as far as I know, he was saved. I don't think he'd ever joined the church anywhere, but he'd been saved. He'd attended several different churches, and we talked about church, and he'd come and visited where I pastored a few times, and so you know, I'm thankful for his testimony of salvation, and so we have a little bit of comfort there, because you know we can rejoice when one of his children is called home. But you know, for those that aren't his children, for God's children, then it's a whole different thing. You know, it's hard to rejoice when someone leaves this world that is unprepared. And you know, we don't know exactly when it's going to be, you know, because we look at the scriptures, and the Bible says, I believe in Job, says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. One place it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Because we don't know whether we're going to have a tomorrow or not. Whether you're going to have an opportunity to do this or that. My friend, that's all in God's hands. And He is just to take life any time that He sees fit. And so, but we look, and I want to look at some scriptures. But before I do, I wonder if there's anything on your hearts tonight. Anything that needs to be said or done before I continue on. Anybody have anything on your hearts? If not, I need your prayers. We want to look this evening, and I said many different thoughts have been running through my mind tonight at the 35th chapter of Numbers. That's chapter 35 of the book of Numbers. And we see, and I'm not going to read all the first part, but I'm going to get down there unto about the sixth verse. And it speaks of the cities that were being spread and how the land was being divided by Israel when they were to go over to possess the land of promise, and it discusses how the cities that were being that were to be given to the Levites, that they might live there and that they might have a place there, and as they, of course, the Levites were those that were set apart to take care of the tabernacle and the things of God that they were to, or the temple and the things of God that they were to take care of, all of those things to see that it was, see that all those things were done. But we see here in the sixth verse, it says, and among the cities which you shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which you shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many ye shall give many, but from them that have few ye shall give few. Everyone shall give of these cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inheriteth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any person at unawares. and they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. And the murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and it was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land, until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. Now that's reading the biggest portion of the 35th chapter of Numbers. And we see here that God had given them a statute that and it was for the benefit of those. And you know that back then that there were murders and things such as go on today. But this was a benefit unto those that had killed someone perhaps unaware. We see here that it was a statute, and it says, you know, if anyone be found a murderer, it says, and it talks about setting aside these six cities so that they would be spread throughout the land of Canaan, throughout the promised land. So anyone that was that had killed someone, and you know, and I think it was mostly for the benefit of those that had maybe had killed someone unaware or accidentally. Not through intentions, you know, but each one could flee to the city of refuge that they might be heard, you know, their case might be pled before the congregation of Israel. Israel. And so we see here, and it speaks there, that there was one, and I think from study we find that that was usually a close kin of the one that was killed, that was appointed as the revenger of blood of the one. And it says if this man met the one that had shed the blood, said that he would kill him, he would slay him, and he'd be justified in that. But we look at this, and we see that these cities were set up for these men. You know, you might have been working out in the field or something happened, and you accidentally, pitched a rock and hit someone in the head, or something might have happened. And you know, there's all kinds of accidents. They had accidents then, just as we have accidents today. And this was a provision made that those that had shed blood, that they might find refuge in these cities. And we look, and I want you to know today that these cities were made so that they were spread abroad, that everyone had access. It was closed. I'm telling you today, brother, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is not far from any one of us if we'll just seek Him. My friend, He is the refuge that you have today. Listen, you're guilty of the blood of Christ. You know, we look, and you might not think, you might say, well, I wasn't the one that drove the spikes through his hands and his feet. I wasn't the one that swung the whip and scourged my Savior, or scourged the Lord, and ripped his skin to shreds. I wasn't the one that accused him. I wasn't the one that plucked his beard. I wasn't the one that smote his face. But let me tell you, my friend, you might say, well, it wasn't my hands that done that. But yet it was because of your actions, because of your sins, because of your iniquity, my friend, that Christ Jesus bled and died upon the cross. And I'm telling you today, you need to flee to the city of refuge. You know, those men that had committed such a thing, those men that had committed murder, you might not feel, let me tell you today, lost friend, you might not feel responsible today, but brother, you stand before God guilty. Guilty. Guilty of iniquity. Guilty of sin. Guilty of the sins that our Savior went to that old rugged cross and paid the debt for. He took our sins upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. And my friend, if you're ever going to be saved, I want you to know that it's going to be by the stripes of Jesus, by the suffering He had, my friend, the price that He paid. My friend, there's nothing you can do to deserve salvation today. Amen. There's a lot of folks today, as I said before, they think, well, you do this, and they think that there's a keys. You know, they'll get in there and they'll say, oh, they say there's keys to the kingdom. You know what those keys was? The Lord, He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, which was, but He gave it to, it was the church that He gave it to, and that what represented authority. If you've got keys to your house, you've got authority to go in there and open that door and shut it and lock it. You know, I've got the keys to a car out there. You know, I've got the authority. I've got the ability to go out there and crank it up and drive away in it, my friend. Listen, but let me tell you, there's no, you do this and do that, my friend. It ain't like putting together a bookcase or something from solder, my friend. You can't get out. You can't get out an instruction manual and go A, B, C, D, A, F, G, brother. Let me tell you, all you can do is surrender unto Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the only thing. Is call upon Him from the depths of your heart. Throw yourself upon the mercy of God. Amen. That's all you can do. Listen, you better be fleeing. You know, we see that revenger of blood, the person that had maybe accidentally know, they were fled, but you know, they were always looking around because they knew that that person's next of kin, that avenger of blood, would be looking for them. He'd be on the hunt for them. Let me tell you something, my friend. I tell you, death is on your trail today. I want you to know, why is death on your trail? It's the same reason that the avenger of blood was on the trail of those that took a life. It's because of my friend of sin, of iniquity, of the breaking of God's law.
Man.
Which you're guilty of. Every one of us, I was guilty of. You know, but praise be unto God, Jesus bled and died for me. He paid the sins, and brother, I can stand through the blood of Christ, my friend, redeemed and whole, justified before God. You know, the imputed righteousness. I don't stand in my own righteousness tonight, because my righteousness is as filthy rags even after I've been saved. Brother, I don't have nothing worth giving to the Lord. But brother, when God looks at me, He looks at the righteousness of His precious Son.
Amen.
The one that bled and died for me. You know, I want you to know that you're just as guilty today as those men that crucified Jesus. You're just as guilty as those that stood in false accusation before Pilate and accused our Lord and Savior. You're just as guilty as they were. If you're lost and separated from God, you're guilty. And let me tell you something. Just as the revenger of blood were on their trail. You know, they could meet death anywhere. You know, I thought about this today, and you know, I got news that my friend had passed away. He was about four years younger than me. And, and he'd take his kids. He had a lot of cattle, farmed. His mom and dad lived right next to him. I worked with him, too. I worked with his dad. Been over there. We'd go over to their house. We played rook. And he had two little kids. And, you know, they got a lot bigger. They got into 4-H. And they go and show cows and show bulls and things of that nature. And he was always going and doing things. He loved his family very much. Enjoyed spending time with them. But, you know, this morning, I believe it was about 9:30, the Lord called him out of this world. You know, 44 years old. And my friend, let me tell you, that's just one example. There's many more. Let me tell you, a lot of us go through this life thinking that we have years to live. Oh, I'm young. I'm still going to see. You know, I have a grandbaby that's going to be a boy here in about 6 weeks. I don't know if I'll live to see him or not, but brother, I pray to God that he gets saved when he becomes accountable one of these days. It's not important whether I see him or not. It's not important whether he meets his granddaddy, but I tell you, it's important whether he meets Jesus. That's what's important. That's what I long for. That's what I want to see. I want my children to raise my grandchildren up the way that I hope that they was raised, and the way that I was raised, and the way that my parents was raised. I take them to God's house. And let me tell you something. If you love them, bring them to God's house. They might not want to come. But I tell you what, I told my children, you know, when they was growing up, I said, you're under my roof. As long as you're under my roof, you will be in the Lord's house. And my friend, I thank God I'm not boasting because I'm nothing today. But brother, I thank God that all of my children are saved. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise be unto God. Oh, that's the best thing that I could ever want or I could ever have. But now listen, my friend, death is on everyone's trail. Death is sure. You don't know if you have tomorrow. My friend, there were those. We think about, I believe it was Ananias and his wife. They came in over there in Acts. And at that point, it was decided among the church that all the members they sold a piece of land. And they come and brought it, but see, they kept some of it back. But they acted like they'd done brought it all. You know. And God knew they hadn't brought it all. The apostles, the disciples, they knew. And they brought it all, says this also. And they said, oh yeah. And they, you know what? They dropped dead right there. Dropped dead. Both of them. Because, but listen, I want you to know that they didn't give their all as was required. Let me tell you something, my friend. Let me tell you, you've got to give it all. You might say you've given it all. You might say you've done all you can do. But my friend, you've got to turn it all over to the Lord. You've got to surrender it all. You can't hold nothing back. You can't hold your past back. You can't hold your wife, you can't hold on to your children, you can't hold on to your background, you can't hold on to the sins. You know, I don't know anyone's heart, but you might have something in your life that you think you just can't give up. I know some people like that. You know, this one fella, he's very intelligent, and I'm not going to tell you who he is, but you know, he gambles and different things like that. And, you know, and I wonder sometimes, you know, is that something you just can't give up? You'd rather hang on to that gambling? You'd rather hang on to that alcohol? You'd rather hang on to that those drugs? You'd rather hang on to those things than to have eternal life? How is it with you tonight? My friend, let me tell you, you better be, I want you to be wary. I want you to be on the watch out. Look behind you. I want you to know Satan is on your trail tonight. Amen. You know, Jesus told Peter over there, he said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, Peter was a saved man. But you know, Satan wanted to find out all the things about him that wasn't exactly right, and he wanted to show that there were some impurities about Peter, you know, and he likes to do that with us as God's people sometimes. But listen, I want you to know that not only does he desire to sift God's people as wheat, but he desires to prevent those that are fleeing from the wrath to come, those that are fleeing of the Avenger, those that are fleeing in eternity in hell. My friend, he wants to keep you from getting to that refuge. He wants to prevent you. See, every time that a lost person, you know, it says there's joy in heaven, there's celebration. Every time a lost sheep is found. Every time someone is saved. The night when Kathy was saved, brother, I believe that there was rejoicing in glory. Amen. Glorifying our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. See, when someone's saved, I tell you, Jesus is glorified. You know, that's the reason I said the other night, you know, when I preached on, show us your glory. Even though that Moses had experienced and seen the mighty hand of God and seen the works that he can do, you know, Moses said, let me see your glory. He desired. You know, when we see someone saved, it ought to make us want to see it again. You know, and that's what Moses had seen, God's mighty hand. He'd seen how that he'd cast that rod down, it turned to a serpent, and he'd go and grab it, and brother, it'd turn right back into a rod again. He saw how that God parted the sea and let the children of Israel come through, and he destroyed Pharaoh and his army. He saw the plagues. He saw all of those things that God had done, but yet he still wanted to see more. Oh, don't seeing a soul saved want to make you see more tonight. My friend, when God comes on the scene, you know, and I can't understand. I've seen people bless their hearts. I have, and you know, I talk about my own family. You know, I don't like I don't mention no names, but I had a good cousin, and he'd come to church. He was a member of church up in the country, and he might make it once or twice a year, maybe once every 3 or 4 months, and he'd come, and brother, the Lord get a hold of him, and he'd shout all over the house. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. If I got blessed that much, I'd want it every Sunday. I'd say, let's have church every day if I got to feeling that good every day. My friend, listen, when we see those things, don't we want to experience it again? Amen. When I see someone saved, oh, it just makes me hungry to see more saved. You know, when I feel God's presence and I get those glory bumps pop up on my arms and feel His awesome presence, brother, that just wants me to feel it a little bit more. Oh, God, show me Your glory again. But listen, I want you to know that death is sure. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. My friend, you're going to have to stand before an almighty God. You're going to have to stand in judgment, my friend. And let me tell you something. I'm going to ask you something. I tell you what, I'm thankful today that I'm going to be standing there covered with the righteousness of Christ. I'm thankful today that I'm going to be standing there covered in the blood of Jesus. But if I had to stand there without the blood of Jesus, I would be shaking in my boots. You know, if I had to stand there in my own, by myself, without Christ being my advocate, without Christ being my Savior, without Christ being my refuge, I tell you, my friend, I would be scared to death because of the judgment of God. And you know, I've been to traffic court a few times, and I've stood before a judge, and that scared me to death, just going to traffic court and standing before a judge. Brother, I tell you what, this ain't traffic court, this is eternal judgment. Amen. I would be scared to death. I'd be scared to death. You know, don't you know that those men, that had slain someone, and everyone, even the ones that had purposely slain. Now, if the revenger of blood caught them before they got to the boundaries of that city of refuge, well, they were open game. You know, they were just in taking their lives. You know, but don't you know, those men were just worried to death every time that a stranger would come across of them, every time they'd come into acquaintance with someone, every time that they'd seen a man somewhere, and they would be thinking, oh, is this the one that's going to take my life? Is he the one that's going to take my life and execute judgment upon me? I'm telling you. Oh, I was lost. I was so afraid. I remember going down the road, and my dad or mom was driving. I got to the point I was so scared every time we'd go by another car, I'd cringe a little bit. Because I'd heard about, people driving drunk and all of these things, and people, head-on collisions. I knew a fellow that, had a wreck. He reached down to pick something up out of his floorboard. He'd done veered off the road and wrecked. Anything can happen. I was afraid for my life. I was afraid not for my physical life. I was afraid for it too. But brother, the Bible says, as I said earlier this week, the Bible says, fear not he who is able to take life, but is able to take your life and cast both body and soul into hell. Amen. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the scripture says. And I don't know what it's going to... Yeah, I do know what it's going to take. It's going to take the Spirit and the power of God to get a hold of you, to make the truth and the message real, to convict you of your sins, to make that you know that you're a all we can do is preach the truth. Man. All Brother Taylor can do is preach the truth. All I can do is preach the truth. These other brethren, all we can do is preach. We sow the seed by preaching the truth. And we to preach it in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And God's people are to witness and testify, you know, watering the Word of God, my friend. And we can pray for you. We can pray that God convicts you. But listen, when it comes all the way, if we shuck the corn, brother, down to the bare essentials, my friend, it comes between you and the Lord. Amen. We can't save you. The preacher can't save you. This water here, this the baptismal, I want you to know there's a lot of people thinks that'll save you. Brother, I tell you what, don't count on that to get you to heaven.
Amen.
I tell you what, it wasn't water. I tell you, before I ever went down into the waters of baptism, I'd already had the blood applied to my soul. I'd already been saved by the grace of God. I've made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's what you're going to have. Why? You know, we can take those people every day, they go submit themselves to baptism. If they haven't been born again of the Spirit, they're going in a wet sinner, a dry sinner, and coming out a wet sinner.
Amen.
That won't save you. Only, my friend, the work of the Spirit upon your heart, being washed in the blood of the Lamb. The circumcision, not with hands. You know, an operation of God. A spiritual birth, a spiritual operation. He that is a Jew, listen, my friend, you need to be a Jew tonight. I'm not talking about a national Israel. I'm not talking about the blood lineage of Israel. Brother, I'm talking, he said, he that is a Jew is not one that is outward, but is one inward. That's an operation of the heart. That's had a change inside. Brother, I tell you what, I'm part of spiritual Israel today.
Amen.
As far as I know, I don't have any kind of Jewish blood in me. I don't know. But I tell you what, I've been washed in the blood of the main Jew.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. I've been washed in His blood. Brother, I've been adopted into the family of God. And that's what you need. You need to flee to that city of refuge, which is Christ Jesus. It's accessible today. That's the reason there were six of them. You know, they were spread throughout Israel. Three on one side of the river, three on the other side of the river. And that way, the one that had slain someone by carelessness or accidentally could have easy access to get to it as quickly as possible. My advice to you is you get to the Lord as quickly as possible.
Amen.
I said, seek after Him. Let me turn over there. I believe it's in Acts. We look over there. If I can read that for a second. We look over there in Acts. And what does it say? I believe it's about, if I can find it, about the 17th or 18th chapter. Over there in the book of Acts. There. And it says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, and neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. He's here tonight.
Amen.
He was here the other night. I believe it was Wednesday night when Sister Kathy got saved. He was here. He's been here every night. He's here tonight. He's accessible tonight. My friend, He made the way of salvation. I want you to know the door is open today, my friend. I want you to know that He's able and But you've got to seek after Him. You've got to call upon Him. You've got to flee to Him.
Amen.
Flee from the world. Flee from Satan. Flee from your sins. Flee. Death is on your trail. Now, death is on all of our trails. We're talking about a physical death. You know why death is on our trail? Same reason that hell is on your trail. Same reason that spiritual death is on your trail is because of sin.
Amen.
I believe that death is on your trail because of Adam's transgression in the garden. And my friend, because of Adam's transgression, I want you to know that the process of aging and death comes upon all men. But listen, spiritual death is on your trail today. And it's, you know, spiritual death to me is much worse than physical death. Spiritual death is much worse. Much worse. And the thing is, if you're lost today, you're already spiritually dead. You're already spiritually dead. But listen, if death comes upon you, if you leave this world in that sinful, guilty, spiritually dead condition, my friend, you will have eternal death.
Yep.
To suffer and burn forever in hell with no let up for eternity. Never to have any kind of ease. Never to have any kind of let up. Never to have any kind of reprieve. My friend, you're not going to be let off for good behavior. My friend, it is eternal.
Amen.
Flee the wrath to come tonight. Flee unto Christ Jesus. Flee unto Him.
Amen.
I would beg you. You know, I'm sure that there were others. You know, there was people, you know, someone that accidentally killed someone. And you know, I think most of Israel was pretty aware of the law. You know, a lot of times they'd read the scriptures daily. They'd read the law. And back then it was the Old Testament. It was the Pentateuch. And you know, they'd read the law. And I think most of them were aware of that. But can you imagine, you know, maybe you had a cousin out here working in the field. Y'all was clearing some rocks out and you pitched one over the ridge there and didn't know there's somebody down there and you hit them and they died. And then you say, cousin, you need to flee. You need to go to the city of refuge. You need to go before his next of kin, before the revenger of blood comes upon you and slays you. Flee, please, flee. Brother, that's why we're pleading with you tonight, is to flee to the refuge, which is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We're pleading with you. We beg you tonight to flee unto that refuge. This is what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. Don't put off salvation. Don't put it off too long. And you know, if you lack conviction, you know, I told Brother Taylor this afternoon, you know, all I know is to tell someone to keep seeking, keep praying, ask God, you know, ask Him. Us as God's people, we need to pray for these people that are lost and say, oh God, please send your convicting power upon them.
Amen.
Trouble their hearts. You need to ask God to save your soul. You need to keep searching. You need to keep seeking and feeling after Him. Listen, but you've got to have that guilt. That overwhelming guilt. You know, I said the other night, we were all talking. And you know, David said over there in one place, he said, my sins are over my head. He felt an overwhelming guilt. He felt overwhelmingly, he was overwhelmed by his sins. My friend, I tell you what, that's the way I felt. The night the Lord saved me, I was overwhelmed by my sins. I was troubled. I knew that I was hellbound. And my friend, there was nothing I could do to remove the burden and the guilt of those sins except surrender unto Jesus. Oh, and call upon Him. Oh God, just like the old publican, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's what you're going to have to do.
Amen.
You know, and all I tell you is keep seeking God. You keep coming to God's house where you can hear the truth preached. Be among God's people. You can hear the witnessing and testimony. But listen, if you get down to business with God, there's no reason why you can't be saved tonight.
Amen.
If you'll trust God, I'm going to quit again. This is my message. I love each and every one of you. I love the lost. I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. Let's have a song. Let's stand together. If you're here and lost, this altar is open to you this afternoon or this evening.